Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Right now we're going to talk with Karen Schoen, who is a host of the American Freedom Watch Radio. And we're going to talk about the poor victims of Hurricane Michael, especially those who were not insured. Karen, thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Well, thank you, Jerry. It is a pleasure to be able to speak. It's a pleasure to be able to speak because we haven't had voice for so long.
Wow. Well, now you were originally from, or you were living in Coral Springs in South Florida at the time that Hurricane Wilma hit, and now you're up in the Panhandle area, and you were there when Michael hit. How would you compare the two? Wilma was a big wallop for us here in Broward County.
Well, take Wilma and times it by about two or three, and you will get Michael.
Oh, my. That's worse.
The best thing that I can say is that it looks like a set from a disaster movie.
Wow.
If you happen to catch San Andreas on the Sci-Fi channel, when you look at the aftermath, that's what we look like.
Well, now
it looks like a bomb was dropped.
Yeah, you're about, what, an hour north of Panama City Beach or thereabouts,
well,
or 30 minutes?
I'm an hour north of Panama City Beach and slightly to the east. I am due north of Mexico Beach.
Oh, wow.
Which took a direct hit.
Yeah.
So when it hit Mexico Beach, it came inland, which is unusual for a hurricane. It came inland and landed right on our county, which is Jackson County, and we sustained a direct hit right from the eye. So we were walloped on the front, and we were walloped on the back.
And if I could ask, during Hurricane, if you don't mind my asking, during Hurricane Wilma, were you there in your home in Coral Springs? And during Hurricane Michael, were you there in your home, when that happened?
Yes, I was in the home. We were in our home in Coral Springs, and it was, very frightening watching, seeing trees being uprooted and things being moved around. We sustained a little bit of a disaster because we watched a little mini tornado go right down our block, and that picked up all the trees. Now, in Michael, the wind was so high that the trees were actually bending in half,
whoa,
breaking, and then flying all around the area. It picked up our shed, threw it up in the air, twisted it around, smashed it down, and then trees started falling on top of it.
Wow.
We were very lucky because our house, the trees surrounding our house are cleared for an acre and a half, so we did not get anything fall on our house. But our neighbors' houses are just demolished because the Panhandle is very rural and very tree-lined. We were in the middle of what was the woods and the logging area, lots of pine trees, not anymore. But that's what grows in our area, very farm area. So there are trees all over the place that are no longer standing.
Wow. Okay, now let me ask you this. You and I are obviously talking through a phone. You haven't had service consistently, though, after the hurricane, correct?
No, this is the first day that I'm actually able to have a conversation without the call dropping off. Right after the hurricane, we had no service for a day and a half. Then we were able to text. Nothing else other than texting went through. We will have no power. What we were told from our power company is that it took them 85 years to build the grid in Jackson County, which came down in 2 hours.
Oh,
the whole
man.
Entire grid is down.
That's crazy. But I remember, by the way, and again, I go back to Broward County and Wilma in 2005. But in our case, and we live in Pompano Beach, we lost power for 13 days. It wasn't until a Canadian crew came, knocked on the door, and they were able to restore power. And by the way, we lost our phone for 28 days.
We lost power in Wilma for 21 days. We were told that it's going to take up to 4 to 6 weeks to restore power in our area, which is all of Jackson County.
Oh, my goodness. That's incredible. And by the way, is Jackson County the same?
Say, we are praying every day.
Yeah.
That, and I have to say that the people have come from all over different states. It is just wonderful to see.
Oh, volunteers.
The American people.
Yeah, that's neat. The Salvation Army, Convoy of Hope, Samaritan's Purse. Yeah, it's just great.
It's also the power companies, and they are coming in from Alabama, from Tennessee, from all over. It's just amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing. As far as food is concerned, how is that going? I mean, what are the local grocery stores like?
They're not open. We had to come. I'm speaking to you now from Dothan, Alabama, which is the closest municipal area that is actually open and functional. Dothan only got like what was considered a Category 1, where we were in between a 3 and a 4.
My.
So being about 20 miles north made a world of difference. So Dothan is open, and we've been coming up here for supplies. As far as Marianna and Jackson County and Mexico Beach and Panama City, you're not going to see anything for a very long time.
Wow. And just to timestamp this, since this is an ongoing story, if you will, this interview that we're having is on Monday afternoon, 5 days after the storm hit, right? It was on Wednesday, as I recall. Last week. So let me ask you this. As far as the traffic is concerned, are there, some roads where there are trees in the middle of the road, that kind of thing?
We are, as I said before, we are in a farm area. So thank God for the farmers. We love them dearly. Many of them took out their tractors and went down the roads, and they helped us clear, helped everyone, my husband, we were volunteering, managing traffic, but the farmer, everybody came out with chainsaws and cutting people out of their homes. People were stuck inside, no food, no water, no power, no nothing. The Red Cross, they were wonderful. They're giving out water and ice. As far as food goes, there are many, many places. Mercy Chefs is desperately in need of funding. They've been feeding people on a continual basis, so we have that going on. Many of the restaurants gave out food, whatever they had. It was just a wonderful thing of people, of Americans coming together to help each other.
Wow, that's amazing. And I understand that there's a GoFundMe page that you are a part of, trying to help the victims, especially those who are uninsured. Tell us about that.
Yes, our area is very rural, and many of the families there have houses that have been in the families for 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years, so they're paid off. They were free and clear. People up here in rural areas didn't have a lot of money. Too many of them had a scrimp on their homeowners because of the high health care costs. But what we found is that many of these people living in these homes had no insurance at all. And many others have insurance that have $5,000 and $10,000 deductibles. Well, when you're spending $100, $200 a day on gas for a generator, that eats up your budget real fast. Wow. So you have to make decisions as to what you should have. My goal is to help some of those people that were uninsured, that don't have places to go to anymore. I just spoke to a woman in town. She said, I have $20 left. I don't know whether to get gas for my generator or get food. I mean, this is what we are experiencing now. Wow. So the GoFundMe page is GoFundMe Hurricane Michael - Help Uninsured, and our name are the Panhandle Survivors.
Panhandle Survivors. Now, I understand one of the aspects of this, and it's kind of gruesome, but the authorities are going through house by house and so forth, just trying to make sure people are alive and help them out. I guess even in some cases, you were saying, sometimes they have to use some of the chainsaws or whatever to be able to open the doors and get people out. Are they finding, in some cases, people that are dead?
We only, thank God, only found one family that didn't make it. The rest so far we have been finding alive. It's just the stress level, you know, people are just walking around saying, you don't know what to do. You really don't know where to start and you don't know what to do. So I tell everybody, you know, protect food, protect your water. That's what's important right now. Make sure that you are healthy and can survive. And the rest, we're praying to God and God is helping.
Wow. Okay, anything else you want to say about what it's like there? I mean, it's, like you said earlier, it's like almost like a war zone or something.
It is. It looks like a bomb was dropped. My house is in the middle of what was a wood, what used to be a woods. The massive oak trees that go up 100 feet high are cracked in half. My woods that I never could see through, I can see through now. We can't walk in the woods because there are just trees everywhere, and that's what has happened to the houses. Many of them were set back in the woods. They are impassable and impossible to get to. When we get there, the tree is in the roof. The windows have been pushed in, all kinds of things like that. So if their houses were surrounded by trees, chances are the trees are in the houses.
Let me ask you this, as far as worship on Sundays and things like that, I've heard about, you know, some of the churches that were really walloped and leveled, and are some, in some cases, are they having outdoor services, or do you know anything about that?
Yes, they did yesterday. There were many outdoor services. The churches got together. The people brought food and were cooking by the churches, and others came by and they could pick up food and water. Everybody is sharing and participating and helping. And that's really the upside, is the way Americans come together and help each other in cases of a disaster. So please, folks, have mercy for those people that were unable to get insurance and will never be able to fix their homes or do anything in their homes to get back of any type of normalcy, and give us a helping hand. Anything will help.
You know,
GoFundMe, Hurricane Michael - Help Uninsured, Help the Uninsured.
I saw a brief interview with a gentleman who in Mexico Beach, okay, which was the hardest hit, I believe, of all the areas in the whole country hit by Hurricane
Mexico Beach
Michael.
Experienced the direct hit from the eye, and the sustained winds were about 150 miles an hour.
And this,
I would say,
yeah,
by us, the winds were about 120.
Oh, wow. So this gentleman said, I've lived here 48 years. I've never seen anything even remotely like that. And we live in Florida. You always know that a hurricane can come. But, you know, this was the big one, obviously.
Yes, you never know how bad it can be until the next one hits. Because what I have learned is that each animal, each hurricane is a different animal. And the problem with Michael is that it started out as a one. So people like us that know hurricanes, well, we got our generator, we got this, we got that, we're all set, we're good. Well, 24 hours later, you wake up in the morning and all of a sudden it's a hurricane four and you have no place to go to get anything extra.
Wow.
To secure anything.
By the way, what about gas stations? I mean, if you had to drive to Dothan, you obviously need to use gas to get around.
Well, again, that's where we were hurricane prepared. We had 5 gas cans filled. We knew we filled up all the cars. We knew we could get out. We knew we could get out gas-wise. What we didn't know is that we couldn't get out because the trees were blocking our driveway, so we couldn't get out until people came and helped us.
Wow.
Alabama was not as hard hit as we were. So the gas stations in Alabama, which is about 10, 15 miles north of us, were open. So people were able to go. Fortunately, our neighbors came by and they saw our predicament and they picked up our gas cans and filled them up for us so that we were able to continue to run our generator.
All right, Karen, we're out of time. Thank you so much. GoFundMe, Hurricane Michael / Help Uninsured. The team name is Panhandle Survivors. Thank you so much for being with us, Karen. All the best.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye now.